Sonny Stitt on tenor sax. He also plays the alto in The Student. Bobby Tibbins on piano, Edgar Willis on bass guitar, and Kenny Dennis on drums. This is titled Blues Greasy. It is one of my very favorite pieces. I love Sonny Stitt. It's from his album, Work Done, recorded, guess when? 1957. When you do a thing well, it lasts. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead. And we're going to try to make some sense of what happened yesterday and what is going on today in Washington. In a stunning and unpredictable and last-minute move, President Donald Trump's defense lawyers yesterday changed direction in their legal strategy and the thrust of their essential arguments, even as the trial supposedly is entering its final phase before judgment. U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts had ruled against witness testimony in Trump's impeachment trial, but he also ruled that senators who will decide whether to convict or acquit the president may ask questions, and if they wish to ask questions, those questions must be sent in writing. The Trump's legal team, that's what we're talking about today, the Trump's legal team make a wise move. And what do you think is behind their unusual tactic in changing up their argument this late in the game? What do you think happened here? And what do you think will happen very soon? We shall see the results of their handiwork. Did it work? That's what we will see in another couple of, well, is it a week or two? Maybe. But we're talking about that today. How is it that all of a sudden we have this change in posture in representing Donald Trump? They had made arguments, and the arguments were a bit bizarre, I've got to say. The lead person here is, of course, see, there I go again, Dershowitz. I always block on names. But Alan Dershowitz made this very interesting argument that the president can't be impeached. Why? Because of intent. He, as president, is entitled to make certain decisions based on his unique vantage point. And it may not look regular. It may not strike people as being on the up and up. But he is sincere. And some of the decisions that he would make would likely be, you know, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, but certainly not spot on. He may make a, you know, have a lapse of judgment from time to time, but it's not like this is his intention. He has good intentions. So that raises the question, or the possibility, at least in Dershowitz's mind, the president's mindset in terms of what it is he has to do in order to safeguard the interests of the country. When you get down to it, even with certain irregularities, we have to see it in the broader scheme of things, Dershowitz argues. He has good intentions. And he may, from time to time, make mistakes, but that's what they are. They're mistakes. They're not crimes. He may have a lapse or two of judgment. That's not a crime. And in any event, no crime has been committed here. Never mind what the House says with the eventual voting of two articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. No matter that they did that, the fact is they haven't proven that a crime was actually committed by this president. And even if they take the position that crimes were committed, they failed to take into account that we're talking about the president here, and he is to be allowed some latitude, even to make mistakes. But we should have no doubt, we the people of the United States should have no doubt, his intentions are good. He is not making decisions with criminal intent. His heart is as pure as the driven snow. Make that the New York driven snow, which is never, almost never white. Okay. But that's what the argument is. That's the strategy. To throw this whole thing, to cast it in a whole different light, and to confuse people. So that even as they think about whether to convict President Trump of the charges that they did levy against him, the two, and we've talked about it, the two articles of impeachment, they're nearsighted, and they haven't taken into account the heavy burden of decision-making that is on the president. And he is to be allowed some elastic here, because what he has to do, nobody else has to do. Nobody has to make the decisions that the president has to make. He's under intense pressure. He can't be expected to be perfect. And Dershowitz insists two things. One, no crime has been committed. The Democrats haven't established that crimes have been committed by the president, and certainly not the specific ones that they outlined in their two articles of impeachment. And number two, people have to understand that as head of state, he is to be allowed some kind of latitude in making these onerous decisions that mere mortals cannot make, but the president can make. And we have to give him some leeway here, trusting that he is not a criminal. His intention is not criminal, therefore there should be no criminal charges lodged against him. Well, I know it sounds like it's a deep argument, but not where I'm concerned. It is a load, in my view, of fecal matter. But So far, this president has gotten away with a lot of slinging a lot of fecal matter and getting away with it. He must have had a really boisterous meeting with his legal team. He must have read them every way to Sunday, telling them how they're underperforming and they're putting him in danger. They're not doing the best job that they should be doing. He probably cussed him out. And suddenly, Dershowitz has new energy, a new look. They all do. Because, of course, they're being paid very handsomely to represent Trump. And on top of that, Dershowitz is supposed to be the sine qua non of constitutional experts. But as I listen to the argument that he's making and the rationale for it that we're supposed to adopt, it just strikes me as a lot of bunk. They're desperate because for at least a little bit of time there, I think they saw that if they didn't do something radical, dramatic, ostentatious, like Trump is, to throw everybody off kilter, that definitely this trial would result in the conviction of Donald Trump. And the next step would be to remove him from office. So I suspect, I don't know this to be a fact, but I suspect, based on the reactions that we got from the legal team and the preponderance of new ideas, of new tactics, that they were read the riot act. And they were ordered to come back with some kind of argument that makes sense that saves Donald Trump. But that's just me thinking. What about what you're thinking? At 888-874-4888. What do you think accounts for this drastic and dramatic change in tactics and even in the arguments being made that we mere mortals, we don't understand, we don't get it about what life is like at that level and the decisions that have to be made. And sometimes, yes, there will be mistakes. There will be lapses in judgment. But when they occur, as they might have, they're not even conceding that Trump, in fact, did have even lapses of judgment, it is to be understood that mere mortals don't understand how you have to, the kinds of pressure you're under as a president. You may make mistakes, but the argument that they're coming back to the people with is that they were not intentional, and they were not criminal. John from New Jersey, what say you? What do you think might have happened here to bring about this traumatic about face?
What do I think has happened? I think the Democrats are afraid that this guy's going to end up still being the president. That's what's happened. Meanwhile, you stole my thunder. Because I want to refer to him as nothing but skin marks on your underpants. That's what the president did to me. He's embarrassing beyond belief.
But just the same, do you think there is a chance that their tactics might work, and in fact, Trump will walk?
Absolutely, there's a chance. That's because I'm no longer a Democrat. Democrats are a bunch of cowards. They're afraid to actually you know, I want to see some Latin American or European action in Congress. I want to see chairs being thrown. I want to see fighting. I want to see blood there before we have blood on battlefields for some BS war that we were sent to so somebody else could make a fortune. That's what I want to see. And I don't think the Democrats have got any, like I said, I don't think they have no backbone, if you put it mildly.
Okay. Well, you got us started today. Thank you so much for calling in. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hey, good day, you, Therese.
Hello, Lincoln. How are you doing?
I am persevering as usual.
That's good.
Quite a few injuries, but I used to run a 4-minute mile, and I'm trying to see how close I can come back to it. So I keep training, but I push myself, and I keep getting injured. But I will never give up. Yes, what I am thinking. I am thinking they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're doing just what the Democrats have been doing. And meaning that all of this is not about justice nor truth. Law in America is not about justice. It's about who can win. And in this particular case, just like how, for example, Schiff, in the beginning, it's so sad that we all ignore this. Schiff actually fabricated a statement against saying what Trump had said in the Ukraine situation. And it was completely miles away from what Donald Trump had said in the conversation. And if we were all being honest, and including this particular forum here, we would have started to look at the whole thing with suspicion. I mean, what Schiff said first, this fabrication, it was so many miles away. So what I'm saying is there is no truth on any side, and it's not about impeachment. It is about they want to get rid of this guy, okay? And it is because people are still disjointed over Hillary losing. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, lying when they're supposed to lie, just like how the Democrats lie when they think they should lie. They're all the same. And I think that it is so sad. Like one of the previous callers just said, oh, he's embarrassing. I think that's so silly. Imagine your country killed millions of people. You're not embarrassed about that, but you're embarrassed about Trump's buffoonery. It shows that we are wicked, even in this audience. People are wicked. Because if you weren't wicked, you would be mad about the murder that Bush did. You'd be mad about
But
you're not mad
off
about that,
topic.
But you're mad
I
about
have
Trump
to keep
embarrassing
you on topic. On topic. Get back to the topic, please. Let's not take these side streets. Let's stay on the main road. What?
Yes. I was just using those to add some elaboration to it. You know, to broaden it, to try to open our eyes and to make us see and stop being subjective. All of what I'm hearing is so subjective. No, I don't hear any objectivity. I mean, they're all doing the same thing. So why are you all surprised at what Trump is doing? How can you not surprise us?
First, you got to calm down. Because you're saying a lot of, in the middle of all of your offering today, it's a lot of anger. And I just want you to focus on the question I asked. If you could humor me, what do you think will happen? How did you regard this move? What might have caused it? Was it an effective
move?
What is it likely to deliver?
I think they're trying to do whatever they think is shrewdest to win. Just like how the other side is doing what they think is shrewdest to win. That's what is happening.
Right. But does the argument make sense to you? That Trump, it must be considered in deliberating about Trump, that even when he makes mistakes, it isn't because of criminal intent.
Yes. I'll give you a good example. This is not going away. When Bush killed these million Iraqis, what did Obama say? He said it was a mistake. Imagine, he killed a million people and Obama said it was a mistake. That's a worse mistake than anything Trump has done. So yes, he makes a mistake, so what?
This is the whole point of the trial. The premise of the trial is that the president committed crimes.
But the
lawyers are saying that has not been proven.
They haven't proven any crimes. All of this is, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but neither am I a Democrat supporter either, you know, nor a Bernie Sanders, nor none of them, because they're all liars. I take politics serious. I don't take this as a joke. A lot of people I hear calling in and talking, this is a joke to them. To me, this is serious.
I'm not doubting that you're sincerely involved. I'm not doubting that. I'm not even raising a question about that. What we're trying to do is to demonstrate among ourselves this way we should have about thinking about things, and therefore what informs our decision. That's raising the level of our discussions. That's what we really are trying to do here.
Well, we should stay congruent. We should stay consistent. And if you notice, neither side have been consistent. They're all jumping all over. They say things they want to say to suit the moment, to suit their agenda and their objective. That's what I'm saying. But we are picking and choosing what we want to see. Whenever Trump's side does something wrong, we see that. But when the Democrats do something wrong, we don't see that. And we are seeing only what we want to see because of the results we are all seeking for. I'm saying to us, let's look at it all objectively if we can, which I'm beginning to think that most people are not able to do. Look at everything objectively. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
I'm saying step away from yourself. I mean, the person I hear saying the most objective in this audience is that brother from Brooklyn, David. He never wavers. Although, you know, some things he says about Trump, I sometimes say, hey, I'd love to sit and rap with David. But David, I notice that he doesn't let his emotions, his subjectivity, keep him from always looking at the picture clearly. And we should really take a lesson from that.
You know, in the same breath, we should develop the discipline of analysis. Just take a situation as it is presented to us and then disassemble it and look at its component parts. Are we likely to see something other than what we are presented with? Such as the case from yesterday, where we had a sudden about face by Trump's defense team, and the rationale given is, as I had stated, opening up, it resonates as a preposterous position to take. That the president, even if he committed any crime, and no crime has been proven, he has not been accused of crimes, this is their position, that we must understand, we must give him the benefit of the doubt because his intentions are to be assumed as being always good intentions. Does that make sense to you as an argument?
In this context, I'll say to you in this context, in the context that they are have all been making preposterous statements, in that context, yes, it makes sense. It's like war, where you say, okay, they did that, so we will do that. And they're all trying to outdo each other. Yes, it makes, don't get me wrong now, it doesn't make sense if we were dealing with truth and with objectivity. But neither side is, so therefore it is, it's just like, they, you know, that thing says all is fair in war, and that's how they're all going. All is fair in war. Both sides are using that adage. And I say from that perspective.
We'll see how it turns out. The argument or the proposition was just outrageous to me. It didn't even sound like it had anything to do with the law.
Yeah, nothing have anything to do with the law in this country. And we're fooling ourselves. We are hiding behind all these lofty speeches. When I listen to them all,
you can't take off on a tangent. You made your point, and we have to move on.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Seriously, thank you very much for your contribution today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Willie. You're on the air. Okay, then you're not on the air. Where did he go? Willie, is that you?
Yes.
Well, we're trying to hear you, but you're not there.
I'm trying to speak, but I guess, I don't know. Good afternoon. And
good afternoon.
My parents, family. Listen, you treat. I know. First of all, I respect you. Listen.
Thank you.
What I'm trying to do is figure out what you're trying to tell us, to teach us. Because as you know, and most of this audience should know by now, that's just a scam. That's all it is. Deterrent listeners, we already know this. We got this. We're not that, crazy. We got this.
But we can't assume that. Because I'm asking specific questions, and no one has answered it yet. We had a declaration yesterday. We saw an extreme turnaround by the members of Trump's defense team. They had taken one position, they threw that out, and they served notice that they're will be another line of defense premised on the fact of this new theory that they presented yesterday. And the theory that they developed, which will be the working theory of the case from this point on, one assumes, is that we have to completely overhaul our understanding of how this thing should work, and on the basis of what Donald Trump should be judged. And it is not according to what previously had been laid out in the House with the articles of impeachment. That is not what we should consider in terms of assessing innocence or guilt of the president. What we must do before everything else is to keep in mind that even if, and they're not admitting that he did anything wrong, but even if he did anything wrong, it was not with criminal intent. Number two, the Democrats have not shown that the president actually committed any crime. And yet he's being prosecuted. And now to compound it, There is no thought given to the fact that, and people should throw this in the mixing bowl when they're making their cake, is the president has to have the wherewithal, the consideration of the people, in that even if he makes a mistake, or even if he has made a mistake, it was not of criminal intent. That's what we're talking about.
Well, from my vantage point, the things that it's not a crime in the sense in the sense of real criminality. The sanction that he tightened on Iran, on Venezuela, that's real crime. So if you're talking about, well, as far as that is concerned, it's not right. Because that office is known for criminality, period.
No, but you see, and when you're talking about the law, you can't make these judgments. These arguments don't apply. We have a president who has been charged with specific acts that are deemed to be criminal in nature. He has been charged with specific acts. We can't just arbitrarily apply whatever it is we want to apply now. No, we have to follow the law as written, supposedly. We have to follow the law. And the charge by the charges by the Democrats in the House is that that he abused his power and he basically avoided or went around Congress to make decisions that required input from Congress. Okay, those are the charges.
Okay.
They're saying that these are not charges. These do not rise to the standard of charges. And beyond that, as of yesterday, the defense team is saying, even if, and they're not conceding that he committed any crimes, but even if he might have done something a little bit off to the side, it couldn't possibly be of criminal intent, because as president, he has at the front of his mind at all times the benefit to the nation. And we have to consider that.
Okay. That's fine. In their eyes, it makes it's just ludicrous to me, because I already know their game. So whatever they decide, whatever they do, my concern is what we are going to do, because we're heading down, like you've pointed out to us over and over again, that we're heading for a rough ride, and my concern is what are we going to do? That's all.
I join you in that sentiment. What are we going to do?
That's their business. Whatever they do, it's their business.
Not necessarily, not strictly, because what they do has a direct bearing on what we do. And this is, you know, to watch this development come from left field and the kinds of games that they're playing, massaging reality into something else. We don't know what it is that's going on there, but we do know that however it turns out, we will be bearing the brunt of it. That's inescapable. Thanks, Willie, for calling in.
You're very welcome.
Clara from Philadelphia. How are you, Clara?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. And I hope you are well. And I hope other people are feeling pretty well. That's the way I feel, pretty well.
Hanging in there.
As I'm listening, I'm thinking.
So what in your mind accounts for this dramatic change in direction and in tactics.
Well, what interests me the most about what you reported today, I didn't know about that, was it takes our judgment capacity. That this is a, I think, is an effort to make our judgment capacity, take it to a lower level, that you accept what a person does, not on, but on the basis of what the person did, the actual act, but what might have been in the person's mind. And it's a, it's like if you say that, okay, these are mistakes, but they're not crimes. I'm not sure they're crimes. He's committed so many other crimes that they chose to ignore. But suppose they took instance of his taking our money to build a wall. Okay, well, his intent then was to help us, to protect us from the immigration, an immigration crisis. That anything the president would do would be interpreted as a simple mistake. See, this is not only, they may see themselves as possibly winning, but throw this in, and it takes, this establishes a precedent for judgment of a person's action. So it gives them even more power. Excuse me. And it sounds like the kind of thinking that prevails in places where there is no democracy, in places where there is a strict sense of fascism. In fact, that's the way people respond under the auspices of, not presidents, but dictators.
They're telling us, they're positioning Trump as a flawed genius. You know, he said he was a stable genius. He could be, from time to time, he might be a flawed genius. But even so, even if it appears that he has skirted the law, we still have to give him the benefit of the doubt. We still have to give him the respect automatically and ahead of time, ahead of a solid judgment against him, that it was for our own good.
That's right.
He made these decisions for our own good.
And it would not only apply to Trump, but it would apply to future presidents.
Oh, yes.
They're laying the groundwork. Everything they do, I think, is an effort to control and reconfigure the way we think. This is not just about Trump, as far as they are concerned. And it's not that just about Trump, as we all know, most of us know. It's not just about Trump, it's about Biden. I mean, it doesn't matter who the person is. It's the structure that they're recreating. And it's a structure that really it has nothing to do with enhancing the lives of the people. Nothing.
So this is, and we should see it that way. I agree with you. We should see that this is part of how they are crafting a new order in the United States.
Yes.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
Great point.
Thank you. Bye.
Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, you Trees. How you doing?
Okay, Ed, how are you?
You know where I'm at, me and my sons. Basically, you know, this is totally ridiculous. I mean, I've always heard it said that no man is above the law. Your intent has nothing to do with the fact that we are charging you with a criminal act. What is the criminal act we are charging you with? Abuse of power. How did you abuse your power? You withheld certain military or financial military aid from a ruler based on, predicated on the fact that he has to investigate your political rival. you abused your power. It's simple. It's plain. Your intent doesn't matter into anything. If I murder someone, you know, other than a direct front on my life, self-defense, my intent doesn't enter into it. It's you committed a criminal act. We laid out the parameters of the act. You did it. And now they're just throwing everything up against the wall to see what sticks. That's why I said yesterday, we're witnessing the death of party politics in this country. Because both parties have nothing to stand on. They have no platforms. They have no ideals. They have no planks. And we're just looking at a house of falling apart cards. I mean, it was totally ridiculous to say, well, you know, if he did commit a crime, he really didn't mean to commit the crime. You got to look at his intent. You know, he really didn't commit the crime. He really didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You know, I didn't mean it. I killed the guy, but I didn't really mean to kill him. You know, I just wanted to stop him. Well, what's the point? I mean, that is the most ridiculous, inane, unlegal, unsensible argument I ever heard in my life. And this is supposed to be the ruler of the free world. So I've got
that's
to
how you get
intention.
To be ruler of the free world, because as what they have established for us, not for them, what they have established for us is fidelity. We owe Donald Trump our fidelity, and we must trust that because he is a stable genius, he has vision, he has know-how that we couldn't possibly have. So we have to trust in his judgment. This is what they say. I mean, they're not hiding it now.
But you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Jim Jones. That reminds me of religion. That reminds me of fidelity.
We shouldn't drink this Kool-Aid, that's for sure.
There you go.
You should not drink this Kool-Aid at all.
Well,
but you make an excellent point. You make
that's
an excellent point.
Yeah. Thank you.
So where do you think it's going to go from yesterday?
Well, like I said yesterday, I'm beginning to see the beginnings of the end of party politics in this country. I mean, it's happening with Bernie Sanders. It's happening with Elizabeth Warren. It's happening in small pockets throughout the country. If you look at certain alternative media and you look at certain things on what has become a clearinghouse with YouTube, with the internet, with the resources there, because corporate media is a total joke as far as I'm concerned and doesn't really tell you what's going on with the people. People are getting fed up with this. They're getting tired of paying homage and taxes and fidelity to a government that doesn't take any consideration for any of their interests. I mean, you know, you've got when you take any type of decent poll, 75 to 85% of the people want free health care, and the government ignores that. 70-85, we have millions, we have hundreds of thousands in the millions of homeless people, and there's enough affordable housing, but we don't get it. You understand what I'm saying? This government has ignored the people too long, and it's starting to. But like anything in America, it takes time. It takes time to change, and the tide is changing. The tide is changing, and I believe maybe in the next, not this election, but the next election, or the next 8 years, we'll see something totally, completely different, a new movement.
But it was outrageous for Dershowitz to suggest yesterday that the issue is now that the burden should be on us, the people, to accept even crimes. I mean, openly he says it. because we must trust that, you know, he is a smart guy, and we should pledge our troth to him and trust that what he's doing is with good intentions. This is insane to have a lawyer, especially of his alleged caliber, to say this in open court.
Because he feels he can get away with it. I mean, basically, he's telling you that this guy is a deity. And no matter what he does, what it appears to be on the surface, even if it is a blatant violation of established law, it's still good because he means well.
Yes.
You know, that's like, well why did God allow the rain to fall? Or why did God allow a hurricane? Well, God, you know, it's all in God's plan. He means well. It's all in Trump's plan. Trump ain't my Jesus. Forget about it.
Sounds very, very New York thing. Forget about it. Thanks, Ed, for your contribution today. Gamba from Florida, you're on the air. Are you there, Gamba from Florida? Okay, we're not hearing you. Moki from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Greetings and salutations. The meaning of this change in strategy is attached to my hypothesis that it's predetermined that Justice Roberts, Pelosi, and McConnell are all playing footsie under the table and have agreed upon this strategy. They may have come up with it together. So this is all smoke and mirrors.
But I think that's a stretch. With all due respect, I think that's a stretch.
You got to start somewhere.
How do you reach that conclusion?
I believe that all three branches of government have been totally compromised by either bribery or threats. And so I believe this is he's going to get a pass. It's predetermined. They're just trying to, both sides are trying to come up with something they can shove down our throats. What they're showing us is just the icing on the fecal matter cake.
Well, do you think if that was their intention, did they have to be so elaborate about it? Couldn't they just get it done in smoke-filled or vape filled back rooms?
Good word, elaborate. They're trying to, it's not just about protecting Biden, not simply about that. It's about ignoring the real crimes he should be tried for, because they are all implicit in the real crimes.
Yeah, but they can't take on, we have to be realistic here. You can't take on an infinite task in a finite amount of time. So this was the best that they came up with, given the original intent. The original intent was to see to Biden, to secure Biden. But things kind of got out of hand. And then we saw that the legal teams on both sides were not prepared. They're not at that level of lawyering, I would say. And they got blindsided by a couple of things, and they had to recoup very fast. So this last effort from yesterday was to do exactly that. Give Trump some breathing room, and in that time, to totally overhaul the focus of the case. The focus of the case has now become not whether Trump is guilty. The focus of the case is now how much faith we, the people, must have in the president. We have to give him, we owe him the duty, in other words, to not convict. We owe him the duty to recognize his intention. His true intentions are not criminal. So they have reorganized, or attempting to reorganize, our thinking, even about ourselves.
I think the reason they seem unprepared is because it's already a predetermined outcome.
And the outcome will be that he'll have a blank check after they acquit him, giving him the legal abuse of power going forward. They're confident they're protecting Biden and they're protecting their own interests. So it's all complicity. It's predetermined. They're giving us a little show. And this last-minute shift in strategy was already planned by both sides.
But I have a simpler explanation for it. I just don't think that they're that good. They're not that good at lawyering at all. It's that simple.
It's all afterthought.
Lawyers, they would have seen what's coming down the pike a long time ago. They would have had their tactics and they would have had their methodology identified, but that's not what was happening in the court. They were disorganized and they didn't quite know how to get at the kernel of this case. They just weren't able to do it.
Well, I
the
just
only
believe that
effective way that they could have done it, they would have had to destroy Biden, and they can't take that chance.
Right.
They have to pretend he's not part of the equation. But then they didn't know what else to go to that they could make a case out of. So now they finally found something yesterday, and it has to do with Trump deserving consideration based on the pressures upon him, based on his vision for America and the world. And he's not perfect. He can make mistakes. But even when he makes mistakes, he's not the kind of guy who makes mistakes with criminal intent.
I think it's one big club, Eutrice. And they both worked this plan out together in the back room, footsie under the table, and just to cram anything they can down our throats so we'll accept a predetermined decision, which partially explains why they don't have a real strategy. They're not ready with anything real. It's just a perfunctory exercise to fool us all. They've already agreed on both sides.
A theory out in the ether, and they're testing to see whether it's taking, whether we are falling for it.
Well,
Thanks a lot for your call today, Moki. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, we've come to the end of our program, and this is what I enjoy about the program, and I urge you to also look at it this way. We don't have explicit answers about anything, I don't think. But we can get very close to the answers when we talk to each other. See what you're thinking. See what is in our minds. And we don't, for the moment anyway, we don't need experts at this. We're the experts right here among ourselves. You take a look at what is going on and you can at least put your finger on a piece of it. And if you do it, and then Fred over there does it, and then Mary over there does it, you see how we get pieces of it together. And it will make sense. We vastly underestimate our capacity to literally understand what is happening to us. And I just want to encourage us to stay the course, develop this attitude that no matter what is in the news, you have the capacity to just stay still for a moment and look at the facts as presented and ask questions. And you will see that you will get better and better at reading things, which is another way of saying you get better educated, and we will not be so easy, you know, to take advantage of, like this stupid and preposterous proposition yesterday offered by Alan Dershowitz, a supposedly expert he is in constitutional law, making a case that couldn't be more unconstitutional. He is not even dealing, even remotely, with the possibility that Trump might be guilty as charged. And he's encouraging us to don't think, to not think about this either. Instead, they flip it to be obedient. Trust that he is making, even when he makes mistakes, it is with a good heart. We must trust that he has no bad intentions at all, that he's on the up and up in all things. This is what happened in front of the nation yesterday. That was the charge for this entire team to sell that garbage, that stupid argument to the nation. And as we heard today, it is not impossible that he could walk, Donald Trump could walk. We'll see. Thanks for joining me. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. It's your program tomorrow as well. Bye-bye.